for tuning in today. This is Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to the big show. It's so nice to be here sitting in this chair. And Susie is going to be back second hour, but she's going to be out this hour. But I'm sitting in for her, and we've got Greg and Aaron Smalley on the program today. So I have to say, this is like a very exciting day for me because I love talking to these folks. They are a riot to talk to, and they're going to talk today about how a smartphone is damaging your marriage, how electronic devices are making marriage difficult. Now, I have always said that we create technology, then it turns around and recreates us, because why else would we sit there and watch TV like I do with a laptop, because I might want to check some kind of fact while I'm watching TV. So we create technology, and then it turns around and recreates us, so there's no going back. On average, we look at our phone up to 150 times a day. That's about every 6.5 minutes. We're checking to see what's going on. It's a little bit of digital heroin. I think we're looking at it way too often. People are very addicted to their smartphones. But what happens when it starts to interfere with your marriage relationship? Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. His books include The DNA of Relationships, The DNA of Parent and Teen Relationships, and The Wholehearted Marriage. Aaron Smalley is a program director at Focus on the Family. She's an author and speaker based in Colorado Springs. She works with her husband, Greg, doing marriage intensives and seminars. Greg and Aaron live in Colorado Springs. You know that because they're regular guests on Susie's show. They have three daughters, Taylor, Maddie, and Annie, and a son, Garrison. And you can find their influencer page at our website at myfaithradio.com. Greg and Aaron, welcome to the big show.
Bill, it is so great to be back on with you.
Thank you. It's been way too long.
Let's, it sure has.
Let's spend the first few minutes crying about the fact it's me and not Susie, because, you know, we love Susie.
We do love Susie.
We do love her.
We're excited to be here with you.
Yeah.
She's all right.
Okay.
Bill is amazing.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. All right. So you just had a big marriage in your family. Do tell us stories. Give us a story.
We did. That's why we don't feel like we've been on for a while, because we've been either planning, getting ready, preparing for the wedding of our oldest daughter, Taylor.
Nice.
So that just happened a couple weeks ago.
Give us a juicy story.
Yeah, January 16th, she took the big step into getting married, which is, you know, actually pretty special when your parents have preached marriage at you for your entire life. So she married a very wonderful young man named Caleb, and we just had such a great day with her. But so many hilarious stories happened throughout the day.
Yeah, I was able to actually officiate the ceremony, so that was a what a neat experience. So we had someone open up so I could walk her down, give her away, and then kind of traded places, and then did the rest of the ceremony. I think one of my favorite memories was, as I'm up there, it's, you know, just whatever I'm talking about, I look past Taylor and Caleb to our youngest daughter, Annie, who's 9. And so she was a junior bridesmaid. So she's standing there, and as I just glance at her and make eye contact with her, she kind of waved real quick. And so I paused, like, looking, "Are you okay?" And she mouthed the word or the phrase, "I'm bored." So I don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, I was actually trying to stay awake myself, but I'm just teasing. Greg did such an amazing job. Truly, I don't know how in the world he got through it, because it was a wee bit on the emotional side.
Yeah, now, Greg, did you cry? Be honest.
You know, I practiced a couple days before, of course, just reviewing what I was going to say. And every time I'd do any part of it, I would bawl. And so I felt like I got a lot of the crying out before the actual day. And I held it together pretty well up until that moment. Well, like right when I asked for the rings, so we were going to, you know, do the exchanging of the rings, they both hand them to me. And I've got like a notebook that I'm trying to balance, you know, reading through, you know, the scripted parts. And I dropped both of the wedding rings. They kind of go rolling down the aisle, down the steps. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if I, you know, jinx their wedding or whatever. But that was a mess up. But right when when it was done, and I turned to him and said, "Hey, it's my, you know, absolute honor to introduce to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Caleb and Taylor Jenkins. You may now kiss the bride." So right at that part, I couldn't get those words out. I lost it finally.
Yeah.
You may kiss my daughter and steal her away for the rest of her life. I didn't right. say that, but that's, I think, what I was thinking.
I'm crying now.
But it was precious.
And you weren't making a fist when you were saying that, were you?
I may have slammed my notebook on
okay,
the
ground. There you go.
Now, as a dad, I mean, this is what we do. We raise our children to release them to their spouse and to watch them grow with their family. And so what a neat experience being able to give my oldest daughter away to her husband. Love him, and they're going to do great.
And as father of the bride, responsible for paying for stuff, I think it was really smart that you officiated to save on pastor's fees.
Well,
I know why you did that, Greg.
I said, why am I not being paid? Like, I should get something out of this other than just a sore wrist from stroking so many checks.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's talk about the jealous lover, the cell phone.
Speaking of marriage,
yeah, let's get down to what is it like when at night in bed there's a blue glow coming off two people's faces?
Well, I think what you said in the beginning, that what was sobering for me is just that realization that what'd you say once every six and a half minutes,
150 times a day.
Yeah, we're checking our cell phone. That's just on average.
I know, because I would say that I might be higher than that. Just honest confession.
And so I think that absolutely the reality is that we are, you know, immersed in a digital world. Mm-hmm. That's not going to go away.
No.
And we want to make sure we start by saying this isn't how do we slam and shame the cell phone user. It's not what this is about at all. This is about the reality that cell phones are here to stay. We use them, and they bring so much benefit to our life just in terms of ease and helpfulness. It's actually something that can really strengthen a marriage. I mean, there's ways in which the cell phone can help us connect frequently throughout the day and just to keep updated. I know that one of the best ways that Aaron and I use our cell phone to strengthen our marriage is just the playfulness throughout the day, just the flirting, just checking in on one another. I mean, what it does is it sends a message. When I text my wife throughout the day, it sends the message that, one, you're on my mind and that you matter enough for me to take 20 seconds to tap out, mm-hmm. you know, how you doing? You doing okay? Good day, bad day? And so it's actually a really good thing. One of my favorite stories of our marriage was when, this was a couple of years ago, I could take a picture of this. If people don't believe this is true, I have evidence that I actually do this on my monitor at work. So my computer monitor, it has the two little words. It says text Aaron. So I wrote that out, typed it out, printed it out, taped it to my monitor. Just as a reminder, because I get so compartmentalized when I'm at work, I'm thinking about work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just needed something as just a gentle reminder to go, oh, yeah, that's true. I am married. And I'm sure she would love just for me to send her a quick little, hey, love you. And so I actually saw my little sign there on my computer and grabbed my cell phone. I just started saying, you know, hey, thanks for getting up early, for cooking breakfast for us all. Loved it. Delicious. You look great. And so then I started to get pretty probably inappropriate playfully with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you looked hot and, you know, hey, don't forget that later on, you know, I think the kids are all gone. And so I'm just, I'm going on and on. Mm-hmm. I send it. And I'm telling you, it wasn't more than 5 seconds. I hear the little beep that I've got a text back. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah. And I pick it up and I look, and it's from my boss. And he goes, please tell me you meant this for your wife. And I could not figure out what happened. Like, how did that happen? And so, of course, I answered him, no, you know, just thinking about our meeting later on. And But it can be a great thing as long as you actually text your spouse.
That's
it can
a
be
good
a great
thing.
Way,
yeah.
right, Aaron, to keep
the research
connected.
Even shows that it's it actually causes couples to feel happier and more secure in their relationship when their spouse, you know, regularly calls them or texts them. I know when Greg calls me and, you know, doesn't call me for any specific reason, like, hey, who's picking Garrison up from basketball or taking Annie to piano lessons, whatever.
Or could we have your meatloaf tonight?
Yeah, just to call and say, hey, how's your day? How are you doing? What are you up to? I just love that. It really does mean a lot. And so, you know, definitely don't want to give the cell phone all a bad rap. But yet, I know for me personally, it is a struggle to set it aside when I'm with Greg in person and, you know, making sure that he is the priority over my cell phone.
Mm-hmm. They also become a point of reference in any conversation. Well, let me show you this picture from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, I got this email the other day, and this guy said this really interesting thing. Let me read it. So now all of a sudden it gets interjected into the conversation, and then people have cell phones on the table, and I think, oh, no, this was supposed to be quiet, alone time, just talking.
It's true. Now, again, that can be a good thing for the relationship. You can, you know, of course, Facebook, you know, will put out what happened this time last year. There's plenty of times where Aaron will say, hey, you got to see this. I forgot. This happened exactly a year ago. And then all of a sudden we're reminiscing.
Mm.
That's a great thing
okay.
for a marriage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She can show, you know, I can say, hey, you got to watch this video. It's hilarious. And I can instantly inject humor, playfulness through that cell phone. So that's why, I mean, it can be a good thing. Just the other day, literally, this was the other day, someone, Aaron and I, Focus on the Family does a big magazine, and so we're actually on the cover of this latest edition. And so some of her friends saw it, like wherever they saw it, and they took a picture and they sent it. Somehow I'm copied in on this text. And so I just simply was trying to honor my wife, and I just wrote back, hey, what a hot and sexy woman. Well, somehow the way it loaded in that conversation with a bunch of her friends, it placed it under one of her other friends to where it made it look like I was talking about her friend. And so
I know. So
it was
I
awkward.
Call him and I said, now, do you understand? I said, you know, yes, this woman is very attractive. I said, but do you understand in a group text you called her a hot, sexy mama?
I'm like, I called you a hot, sexy mama.
I'm like, no. So I asked the girl, the lady, when I saw her later on that day, I said, who did you think he was talking about? And she goes, well, I thought it was really weird. I thought he was talking about me.
Well,
and I said, I know.
Yeah, Aaron, that's one of the disadvantages of being married to Fred Flintstone. So we're going to take a little break when we come back. Lots more with the Smalleys. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie. You'll be right back.
Work.
Your smartphone damaging your marriage? This is Bill Arnold in today for Susie Larson. And from what I've been told, I'm talking to Greg and Aaron Smalley today, and we are having at it with this cell phone business. And there are sacred moments in a marriage that we have to pay very careful attention to and not let that phone invade those moments. So we're going to talk to them about that. And I think there was a game in the 80s, a video game called Space Invaders. And wasn't the goal of the game to defeat all the marching aliens by firing a laser cannon? And then the more aliens that were defeated, the music would speed up and there would be all this anxiety, you know, for the gamer. And then we'd finally reach the point where the alien invasion was successful and game was over. And in a way, our phones have become that new Space Invader.
It really is. That is the problem. We talk about here the cell phone can be a good thing when used in certain ways, but here's the downside, and here's why Aaron and I believe that the smartphone can really ruin a marriage, because what we're finding is that it's invading these sacred moments in a marriage. Aaron and I have been married 25 years, and Bill, honestly, as I reflect back over the last 25 years, I'm now realizing that if I'm going to keep my marriage strong, one of the best ways to do that is to make sure that I'm taking advantage of certain sacred moments, certain things that happen on a regular basis. For example, I would argue that I think the most sacred moment between a married couple is what happens right before you go to bed. And I'm not talking about what every guy instantly is thinking I'm talking about. That's a part of it, but that's not all that we're talking about.
No, we're actually talking about, we call it pillow talk. You know, it's the time when we both crawl in bed and it's the end of a long day. There's such an opportunity there just to connect, to, you know, really check in on each other. And, you know, how was you, you know, what was the high of your day? What was the low of your day? You know, what was this most stressful thing you dealt with today? And so we can just really use that time to connect and then ultimately to pray together and to really come before the Lord together. And I know for us, and Greg, you can validate this, this has been a huge struggle for us because most people, including us, plug in their cell phones right by their bed, right? And so it's so easy to just, you know, check your phone just one more time before you go to sleep, or you hear a text pop up. And so it's so easy to direct your eyes to your phone instead of directing your eyes to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I would underscore what Aaron is saying, in that the whole goal of pillow talk is meaningful conversation. You're not administrating your marriage. You're not talking about the to-do list for tomorrow. You're not talking about finances. This is when we're just having conversations about the highs and lows of the day. You know, something that you're dreaming about, something that's going on that we just to stay updated. In that is such a critical time. Research shows that if couples spend at least 10 minutes in meaningful conversation, that was the difference between unsatisfied, unhappy couples and happy couples. And that's why that's such a sacred time. That's the easiest opportunity. Now, again, depending on what stage of marriage you're in and if you have really young kids, I mean, that can all be a very difficult time. We both lay down, we're tired, we want to go to bed. I mean, we get all that. We deal with all of that. But there's just something powerful for your marriage when at the end of the day, we can just catch up, we can laugh, be playful and snuggle and have physical intimacy. I mean, all that, it's a part of that sacred moment. And I get ready for bed, Aaron, it takes me all of 35 seconds probably.
Mm-hmm. It takes me a little bit longer, yes.
Well, so the problem is that, Bill, I'm quickly ready for bed, and so I go and lay down on my side, and I'm just waiting for Aaron. Well, I pick up the phone and I'm looking at news feeds. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm playing solitaire, whatever. I'm mm-hmm. into something. Mm-hmm. And now she's finished and I'm engrossed in some story of the day. And so she comes to her side of the bed, lays down, and then she's going to just, real quick, there's a text from someone or a Facebook post. And so we're seeing that we are failing miserably at protecting this space. Mm. We know it. Mm-hmm. We talk about it. We lament and go, are we stupid? What are we doing? We know better. We need to do a better job of protecting. It is just, it's so easy to get hijacked by that phone.
Well, it produces a little dopamine response in your brain when that little ping goes off and you go, ooh, who just texted me? I have to find out. So,
exactly.
I mean, there's something going on in your brain that says you have to look at your phone. So, yeah, it's a problem.
And right now we have a daughter, our second daughter,
Aaron,
Murphy.
Aaron, can you hang on a second? A ping just came into my phone. I'm going to have to check it here real quick.
That's totally what it feels like.
You get it, don't you?
Oh, yes,
this is
I do.
Oh, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
I might have to cut this short. No, let's go back to our interview.
Yeah, anyway, back to my story.
Okay, yeah.
We're alive. Let's not forget.
We have our daughters in China right now. And so just the other night, and since she's been there, it's a 15-hour time change. And so she texts us, and it's like 2 in the morning. Mm. And I hear Greg's phone go off. And so, of course, I'm like, oh, who texted you at 2 in the morning? Is everything okay? And then I hear my phone go off. Well, who can resist at 2 a.m. seeing what the text says? So we both end up checking our phones, and then we're wide awake for the rest of the night. I mean, literally laying there going, okay, we're going to have to work on this deal, you know, that she realizes she can't text us at 2 a.m. unless she's dying. I mean, it's just it's such a temptation.
Sounds like I even for Bill for Christmas, just thinking of like just some things, creative things to get for Aaron. I saw this research study showing that when people are looking at their cell phone before bedtime, just that blue glow you talked about, you know, it decreases the melatonin or does whatever it does to keep us awake. But then they've created these special glasses that you wear while you're in bed, and it counteracts that the blue light. And so I was like, oh, how cool. I need to get those for her. And then all of a sudden I went, no, I refuse to buy something that's going to give even more reason
encourage
why.
Encourage me.
Yeah.
I need no encouragement.
Yeah, that we take away from that time. And so I just, you know, I hope more than anything you hear us saying that this is where we struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we are allowing that sacred moment, that pillow talk time, to be taken over by the cell phone. And so we've been, even in our own marriage, we've just said, listen, we've got to start charging our phones, you know, in the bathroom and not next to our bed. Now we have those little Fitbit, you know, those little fitness things that are on our wrists that can act as an alarm. It buzzes, you know, when it's time to get up. And so I'm like, I don't even need my phone next to the bed. But the point is that we are looking for how do we really solve this, because we're taking that time back. We're not willing just to casually allow that time to go, because I'm telling you, that's one way that it really destroys a marriage.
Yeah, Aaron, do you feel snubbed a little bit when Greg reaches for his phone when it could
yes.
be pillow talk time? And I'll ask
Absolutely.
The same question to you, Greg. You're not off the hook, Aaron.
I do. I've explained it this way to Aaron. And again, we could talk about television. We could talk about computer use, video games. I mean, so this just isn't arguing about cell phones.
Sure.
But definitely, I tell you, for me, what I'd love to talk about is this whole idea of first fruits.
Good, let's do it.
I feel like we're giving away our first fruits.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, lots more with the Smalleys. You're listening to Live the Promise. Thanks for tuning in today. Bill Arnold in for Susie. We'll be right back. Figuring out some very, very important stuff today with agents Aaron and Greg Smalley. Got them on the case. We're talking about how cell phones and other digital electronic equipment can absolutely ruin your relationship if you spend too much time on it. And we're talking about sacred moments in a marriage that we should be very careful about letting smartphones get into those times. And we talked about pillow talk, how it's important to at the end of a busy day to have that quiet time where you're not distracted. You're just having that meaningful, intimate conversation. And next up is mealtime. And, of course, just getting together and having a meal is pretty sacred. It promotes face-to-face conversation. Let's talk about that.
It's such an important time within the health of a marriage, the health of a family, because we're all so busy, we're running, and it's so important for us to have that face-to-face conversation. That's where we're all seated around the table. We've got good eye contact. I mean, we're dialed in, tuned in to one another. We can do devotions. We can talk about spiritual things. We take advantage of traditions that we've started. Like one of our traditions, I think Aaron, you started this, is that we play the high and low game as a family.
Yeah, and I heard a different take on it this last weekend when I was speaking at a women's event. Somebody said we do high, We do our highs of the day. We do the lows of the day, but we end on another high. So we do high, low, high.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it the high, low, high game.
Of course, we live in Colorado, so that implies
other
different
things. Yes.
But I like where you're going with this.
It is so true that if we sat down as a family at the table and had no limits and no rules or expectations around table behavior, literally five of the six of us would have our cell phones out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've over the years, I know families have talked about needing to turn the TV off, and now it's set aside the cell phone. Because again, we have got to give that time, that space to each other. Our cell phone, in essence, is a space, and it's stealing our eyes from the most important people in our lives. We have to be able to give that, as you were talking about, Greg, our first fruits to each other. And the meal time is a great place to do that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that verse in Proverbs 3:9 that talks about that we're to honor the Lord with our wealth and with the first fruits of all of our produce. And of course, that's talking about tithing, but I've always loved that phrase, first fruits. It's the very best that we've produced. And we have to, that's the stuff that we need to give to our family, to our spouse, our best time, our best attention, the first fruits of what we have to offer. And unfortunately, the smartphone for so many people, like I noticed when I what frustrates me, you asked Bill earlier about the fubbing, so it's the phone snubbing idea. In I think I notice it more when we get into the car, because at bedtime I'm usually looking at news, and then Erin lays down and she's looking at her phone, and so we're both kind of disconnected looking at the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm driving, or you know, if she's driving, but when I'm driving and she sits down, it's so easy just to quickly jump in. Oh, there's a text. Let me answer that real quick. It's almost like, hey, let me get this stuff done, and then we'll connect.
Mm.
And that's the message, unfortunately, that it can send, is that all this other, the phone's more important, or connecting with a friend, or texting, looking at a post, whatever, can be more important than you are. So that's just when I notice it more. But boy, the mealtime is such a sacred time for a family.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody has their cell phone there, I think part of, and Erin, we've talked about this before, I think the reality is for most men, so for most males, so boys, men, that face-to-face conversation is a little bit harder. And we have to kind of be eased into these deeper kinds of conversations. Women have this amazing ability to go very deep in a conversation very quickly. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think for guys, it's almost like it's like getting into a cold pool, to where, you know, we're just getting in a little bit slower. Whereas I think women can just dive right into the deep end, and they're in this great conversation in 2.5 seconds. But I don't think most men act that way. Some do, but most don't. And so when you've got a phone there, as a man is just being kind of eased into the conversation, I think a phone interrupts that, and it can keep those conversations at a very surface level. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's not like we need help in that, because as you're saying, we're just different as men and women, and it's so critical then to take away any of those distractions.
Yeah.
You know, much easier to connect on a deep level when you're not staring at the phone. And I know for Greg, when he sees me, you know, when we're driving in the car and I'm texting and, you know, catching up, because oftentimes it is like the first time I sat down for the day, and we're going on a date. So I'm trying to, you know, answer, you know, five texts from friends and kids and arrangements for kids and on. But the truth is, it shuts him down. When he looks over and he sees me on my phone, it sends the message, whoever I'm texting is more important than you. And although this is your time, I'm going to steal it away and give it to these other people. And that's not the message I want to send, but it is what I end up sending him. And I don't like that. And so it's, you know, even though I'm shaking and having to like go through withdraw, I take my cell phone and I, you know, stick it in the cup holder, you know, just to get it out of my hands. You know, if someone is really needing us, they will call us, they will get us. What can't wait? because Greg deserves my first fruit.
Mm. And women are so awesome when it comes to words. And Greg, you might answer this one. They can make men feel inadequate in the words department. So when you said it's a little bit like a cold pool, I think, yeah, we don't go in as quickly.
Yeah. And that's neither good nor bad. I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And if I've just noticed that Erin is amazing as a multitasker. That's one of her strengths. And I mean, it blows me away that I can walk into a room and just watch her managing a meal that's being prepared, kids sitting there doing homework, just chaos. She has this amazing ability to multitask. I just can't do that.
Yeah, but the research shows that when you do that many things, even as women, when we multitask, it actually lowers our IQ. And I don't have a whole lot of room there.
Oh, yeah,
so,
right.
You know, it just helps to remember that as I'm trying to do all these things, you know, instead setting aside a few of them, especially when I'm trying to connect with my spouse, let that be, you know, I want that to be my top priority. So ladies out there, when you're thinking, you know, hey, I'm good, I can multitask, it's still sending a message that they're not as important as whatever else is going on. And that's not what I want to send.
Mm. And Bill, I don't know if we have this ability, but if we do to have people call in, our newest book just came out in paperback called Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. I'd love to give away some of those. If one, this is a problem in your relationship, the cell phone is a problem, and what have you guys figured out that's working? Like, mm-hmm. How are you solving this? Because it's a problem for us, and we're working hard at it. But, man, I'd love to hear some great tips.
We can certainly give some books away. The third caller will win a book, and the fourth caller will win a puppy.
Ooh.
Nothing like that. I'm kidding about the book.
I want a puppy.
We'll start calling. Sounds like Erin.
Just kidding about the puppy. But why don't we get a few callers? And if you have a question for Greg or Erin about how the phone might be interrupting your marriage or your relationship and you have a question for them, please give us a call. That number is 1-877-933-2484. I'll give it to you one more time. 1-877-933-2484. Give us a call. I'll take your question. Let's talk a little bit about leisure time or downtime when you're trying to just relax and maybe watch your favorite TV show or have a nice cup of coffee in the recliner. What happens then when that phone invades that time?
You know, it's not a whole lot different than the other scenarios, but you know, you have had a long day, you come home from work or wherever you've been, what you've been doing, you've got kids in bed. It's a great time to connect and to, you know, watch a TV show, or maybe you're spending the day out hiking or you're drinking coffee, whatever your leisure time looks like. And when one person pulls their phone out and is texting, looking on eBay, you know, researching something on Google, you know, again, it is causing disconnection. Our attention is, you know, not fully invested in the time together. And for Greg, you can speak for yourself, but, you know, we'll be watching a movie and, you know, and truly it's funny because he'll go, what did they just say? What just happened? And I'll be like, I have no idea because I was looking at my phone. And it's true. I just, you know, I zone out on something else.
That's that's it exactly for me. It's when we, you know, if we have a couple shows that we love to watch as a couple, and so we record these, you know, or some movie that we've recorded, so Erin will say, hey, let's go watch a movie. Awesome. And so as we're sitting there, I'll just glance, and she's totally doing something on her phone. And it just, so it feels like she's not fully invested in what we're doing together. Because I'm thinking, you know, okay, if it's just me, there's a bunch of other movies that I'd rather be watching than this Hallmark right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's, I think for me, it
wait,
just,
wait a minute. You just said that you would rather be watching something other than a Hallmark?
If I'm by myself, I would much rather watch a good action flick than a romance.
Yeah, I like Hallmark movies as long as there's a helicopter explosion.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Greg.
It certainly.
Yeah.
If you know, if someone is in some sort of battle or fight,
exactly.
In the Hallmark, that's great.
Exactly.
But I do it because I know that it's good for us.
Yeah.
And so if she's not, if I'm perceiving that she's not fully invested, it's just irritating. It's not a big deal. I mean, you won't get into a big argument about it. I'll be like, hey, can I watch something different if mm-hmm. you're not going to watch? It's just being aware that leisure time is a sacred moment because it promotes play and fun within the relationship. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, we need that pillow talk time that we're connecting before bed. We need that meal time, but we also need fun and, mm-hmm. and play, and that's leisure time. And that's just the cell phone is a huge space invader in that mm-hmm. way.
Smallies, we have Kathleen on the line from Shoreview. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
You've got something to share about how you handle technology in your marriage.
Yes. So I do three different things with our cell phone. And one is date night. Because I am much more interactive on my phone than my husband, my phone stays home. And his phone goes with us.
Ooh. Oh, that's a great idea.
I know. Or if there's an emergency, the kids know, call dad's phone. And mom's phone stays home. Then there's not even the temptation's gone. Second, in our house, we have a little basket, kind of like where you hang the car keys. And we put our phone in it so that our phone doesn't follow us all over the house, kind of like the old-fashioned way where there was a phone on the wall in the kitchen. So,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, you can check it once in a while, but it's not on you and it's not all over in the house. And we don't have our phone in the bedroom. It's just not a place. Again, we have it in the bathroom. Kids know it's turned on for emergency. We could hear the ring. But we don't lay in bed and text and Facebook and all that. So those are three things that have really helped us to not have the phone run our life or be in the middle of our marriage.
Kathleen, yeah, that's great pieces of advice because, you know, really when you know, you guys obviously have spent time talking about this and interacting, you know, kind of setting the expectations around this is how it's going to go for us. And I especially love the date night that, you know, that my phone could stay home. The kids know they could call Greg then. I love that. That's great advice.
That really is good advice. Kathleen, thanks so much for calling in. I think we touched on this a little bit, but let's talk about windshield time again, which is just time in the car. And Aaron, you did mention that. And I would like you to just talk a little bit more about that time because that is sacred time as well.
Yeah, because we love when we take road trips or when we're, you know, just driving in the car. You know, we're side by side. Typically, you know, the kids are in the back and they might be, you know, busy doing something, who knows what.
We put them on our phones.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a great opportunity. It's a moment that we can take advantage of, you know, really talking and maybe singing to our favorite 80s song. I guess that dates us, but, you know, what a great opportunity we have. And if we, again, are on our cell phone, then we're taking that opportunity away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill, women love to communicate face to face. And that's that mealtime, why that's so important, because it fosters that. Men, not so much. And we know just research-wise that men like more the shoulder-to-shoulder, side-to-side conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know all the scientific reasons for that, but that's what makes that windshield time so important, is that it caters more to how a male likes to communicate. And so instead of, you know, think at a coffee shop to where you're sitting across from each other, deep eye contact, guys, just that's not what motivates a guy to get into deep conversation. But there's something about when Aaron and I are side by side driving that she's asking questions or we're talking about stuff, and it just promotes it helps us stay current with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us to keep updated.
Yeah. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we have one more segment with Greg and Aaron Smalley. Thanks for listening to Live the Promise today. Bill Arnold in for Susie. We'll be right back.
I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how.
The hour goes so fast with the Smalleys. We just fly through stuff. And we're talking today about the impact, negative and positive, that smartphones can have on your relationship and or your marriage. And we are at the point now where we're going to summarize some things. And I also want to talk and ask you a question about the idea of connecting versus communicating. I don't know if there's a, if I'm going to ask this question well or not, but it seems like a lot of people are happy just to connect to people but not communicate with them. It's like, what'd you do last night? Well, I sent out text to five people and I connected to two people on Facebook. Well, that's not really communicating. You're just connecting. And I wonder if sometimes that's a more cowardly approach. And God wants us to be in front of people and see faces and hugs and all that.
Well, especially that the goal within a marriage, within a significant relationship, is to go to those deeper levels. Mm-hmm. A marriage will only be as good as its communication. That communication is the lifeblood. Lifeblood meaning the thing that gives something its vitality. So communication, to your point, Bill, I think it's just it's going past the surface facts in what, you know, what'd you do today, in cliches, and it's actually getting down to the deeper levels, which they're going to include talking about feelings and talking about, you know, here's what I need. And so I think if we're going to use communication to strengthen our marriage, it's because we're getting to those deeper levels.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, there's a human longing in our soul to connect. We're God made us as relational beings. And honestly, the texting and the Facebook connections, they're not going to do the same thing for our hearts that the deep, intimate connection that we can have through conversation face to face, you know, connecting about our feelings and our needs and, you know, intimacy. It really, when you break it down, it says into me, see. Mm-hmm. That's what we long for. We want to have people see our souls and our hearts, and, you know, our spouse wants us to connect with theirs. And so it's just prevalent and relevant that we set the cell phone aside amidst the time. We don't get very much time together anyway. You know, life is busy. So when we do have the time together, that we really come up with mutually agreed upon expectations and kind of limitations around technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would, you know, for me, Bill, it's like what our caller Kathleen was talking about, that the reality is that the cell phone is here to stay. It's going to be a mm-hmm. part of our life together. We can use it to strengthen our marriage. We can use it to help our life function better, more efficiently. All that's true. All we're saying is recognize that there are sacred moments in your marriage that's going to keep your marriage strong. Identify what those are. I would just encourage you to have a conversation with your spouse and just say, hey, what are some really important moments, you know, like right before bed or mealtime or whatever, and talk about, okay, these are, name two, pick two. For me, I'd pick pillow talk and I'd pick windshield time. Mm-hmm. Those would be the two for me that I think give us the most bang for our marital buck,
mm-hmm.
that we get to use those times to really talk and communicate and to be playful and to update on what's going on in life, all that. And we, that's where we need to say, okay, so what will we do differently going forward to protect that time?
Mm-hmm.
And so doing like Kathleen suggested, that's when we come up with some creative, let's have a basket and we can, you know, leave, or, you know, we'll just use your cell phone because people are more likely to try to call me. Or, I mean, there's easy solutions out there. We just have to be intentional going, we've got to protect that time,
mm-hmm.
because the cell phone is so easy as a space invader, that sacred space invader, that you're unless you really actively, like the old video game, start firing back, man, those little space invader phone is going to keep marching right at your relationship.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me ask you this, Greg. You decide you're on a date with Erin and we're not going to have cell phones at dinner, but she gets up and goes to the bathroom. Do you check your phone?
Use it that way. Why not? I mean, if she's not there and we're not able to connect,
right?
You know, get your little, take your little hit, get your little fix, and then put it away when she comes back.
But your pocket's
glowing. Take it to
glowing.
The bathroom.
Yeah, your pocket's glowing.
Yeah, That's what Aaron's learned to do. She knows that she can take it to the bathroom, so she's always going to the bathroom now.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is something wrong
something
with you?
Wrong.
Are you sick?
Yeah,
you
I have a friend who actually dropped her cell phone in the toilet.
Oh, boy.
So that's a bummer. Yeah, she may not want to do that.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how do we convince, you know, your spouse that it's worth it, that this time is going to be worth it, and we have to really be intentional about putting these phones in the basket, like Kathleen said, or we're going to plug them into the bathroom outlet so they're not going to be in the bedroom. How do we convince each other that this is something we have to do?
Yeah, and, you know, it's all about approach, timing, and it's going to your spouse and, you know, saying, you know what, our marriage matters to me, and I want to fight for our time together for these sacred moments throughout the day. I want to connect with you. You know, who doesn't like it when someone comes to them and says, hey, I want to know you. I want to be with you.
Me.
And, you know, yeah, okay. I'm looking at Greg across
right,
the table.
Good. At least she didn't call you
Bill.
A hot, sexy man. Yeah.
Well, I'll check my text feed after the show.
That's a good thing. And so, you know, really, you know, just choosing another time outside of a moment when you've just had a negative interaction because of technology and, you know, really just telling them what you desire, what you want. And how, then, you know, maybe leading into this is how I see that technology is interfering.
And Bill, I would do it this way, that I think more important, like we always tell people that the worst question is how can I have a better marriage? Because that really does take two people.
Mm-hmm.
The best question is how can I be a better husband? How can I be a better wife? And so maybe the place to start is to say, okay, I want to give my first fruits away to my spouse, not to the stupid little phone,
mm-hmm.
or not to the TV or whatever issues are true for you guys. So I can control me. So the question becomes, what do I need to do differently to give my first fruits away to Erin? I can't control what she's going to do, but hopefully let's be honest. If I'm giving my first fruits to Erin and really connecting with her, she's going to love that. She's going to be drawn to that. All of us are drawn to that. And so it's not so much figuring out these elaborate rules because, again, for us, it's been a real struggle. I think it's just saying, as an individual, what can I do differently? So even if she's choosing to bring her phone next to her bed, I have a choice. I can either sulk, which I've done, which doesn't really work.
I can't picture that.
Oh, man. I
can
sulk with the best of them.
I'm joking.
You know, or I can roll over and just be ticked.
Mm-hmm.
And go, fine, whatever.
That
okay,
I can picture.
Yeah, I can say nothing and just choose to go to sleep. Or I can say, hey, I want to tell you about something that happened to me today. And I guarantee you that even after 30 more seconds of a text, I can get her to engage with me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm connecting with her, she's going to forget about that phone. And so it's again, what do I want? How do I want to show up, and how will I give first fruits away to my wife? That's what I need to keep thinking through.
Mm-hmm. Well, Erin and Greg, thank you so much. The hour always flies by when you're on. Appreciate your wisdom, and you're awfully fun to be with on the air. So thanks so much for being on the show.
We'll text our response.
Awesome.
To
thank you.
You
so
yeah,
much.
I'll think
it.
About
yeah.
it, and
right.
then I'll text
exactly.
in a little
All
bit.
Right. All right. Thanks so much. That wraps up Hour 1 of Live the Promise. Thanks for being with us today. Susie's going to be back Hour 2. If you want to hear this podcast, you can go to myfaithradio.com, go to Live the Promise show page, and there it is. You can pass it on to a friend. This is an important issue. We have to be making sure we're giving first fruits to our spouse, and that requires you agreeing on the rules regarding the cell phone and television, computers, and everything else. Keep those moments sacred. Have a great afternoon. God bless everyone.